Chaver, first of all the learning tonight, all the learning, all the chizik, all the zayris, we're learning l'il nishmas, pesel chana bes pas Rav Moshe, Mordechai Bennett, Rav Mordechai Bennett's mother, who this Shabbos Kodesh will be the Shloshim, and Amir Hashem, the schus of all the learning, tonight should be a big schus for her neshama. We should be zoich to be reunited with Karav Mammoth and Sheikh Zilkeinu from here, B'yameinu. It's Mammoth's been a whirlwind of a few days for all of us. When you go from Yom Kippur to today itself, is like, I don't know if there's a bigger contrast in days from one day to the next than any other time in the entire year. Because even after Purim, we have a Shushan Purim. So you feel, after Purim, you feel still it's Shushan Purim. You feel deeply still connected to Purim, it's Shushan Purim. Halavai, we should all still feel connected to Yom Kippur, but it's a regular day today. It's not really a regular day, it's a very holy day. The Svarim talk about these days being Bein Yom Kippur and Sukkot, these days is very, very big days. Very, very big days. Very Kaddish days, very holy days. In fact, there's a very famous Gemara, Chazal, actually spoke about it, Lel Yom Kippur this year at the Kaisel, that HaSatan is Gematria 364. And that tells us that the Satan doesn't rule over one day of the year, meaning the 365 days of the year, but 364 is HaSatan. So one day a year, the Satan doesn't rule over, and that's Yom Kippur. So I saw, brought down, but why HaSatan? Satan by itself. Why HaSatan? Satan by itself is 359. So it's missing what? It's missing 5 days. I mean, there are really 5 days it doesn't roll over. And those 5 days are from Yom Kippurim till Sukkot, these days. These days, including Yom Kippur and these days, are days that are Kaddush, Mamish, that the Satan has no power on. So Emes is, if we really felt it, these are very holy days. But at the same time, let's be real. It's Mamish is hard to still feel the way we felt yesterday. But I'll tell you, on a personal level, Mamish, to go from being literally last night at an Ilah, steps from the Kodesh Kedoshim to be this morning Shachris in Woodmere, New York. Not to put down Woodmere right now. That's not what I meant by that. But I'm Avin Yavin. It's a grand contrast. And I'll tell the Chevra something I was thinking about a lot over the last few days in Eretz Yisrael was the amazing passion, Hislavus, of Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael. You know, I'm sure each and every one of us, wherever we davened, Ne'ilah was full of Hislavus. Any Yid in the world, if you're not B'chol HaLev during Ne'ilah, so you have to check your pulse. When you realize Ne'ilas Hashana, Ne'ilas Hasif Tzvarim, Ne'ilas Hashar, how can you not be full of passion and Hislavus? B'chol ha'kavana, b'chol ha'lev. But you know, being in Eretz Yisrael, again, I only had the schus to be there for a little over 2 days. But all that I saw throughout Eretz Yisrael, not just by the Ilah, of course during the Ilah, but not just by the Ilah, was Hislavus for Yiddishkeit. Was passion. I had the schus to be by the Maariv Hachpela, and to be by Kever Rachel this past Monday, going into Erev Yom Kippurim and packed with Yidin davening me'am because I live. Not on Yom Kippur, prior to Yom Kippur. But really, I don't mean just packed with Yidin. Packed with Yidin davening me'am because I live, bedimos, and tears. You see it, mamish, alive. Yiddishkeit is alive. Wherever you turn, you see and you hear passion. And then to get to Kaisel Maravi, you also pictures and images and Maybe you remember being there in the past. Be by the Kaisel Erev Yom Kippur at night, where you have, they said, 120,000 Yidden davening to the Eibishter. I'll show you pictures that I have on my phone afterwards, a video. You never saw in the whole old city, people, all the rooftops were. You couldn't get on a rooftop. You couldn't get on a rooftop. The passion to daven, to be part of Klal Yisrael this time. And as it is, I've had this chus for many years to go down later in the night. You know, during that time, I stay away. It's just too crazy. So I had this chus to be on the rooftop of Netiv Arieh, just watching. It was like Mikvah Yisrael Hashem, you know. It was incredible. It was such Kedusha, the scene, what you saw. But later, 3, 4 in the morning, still thousands of Yidden. And you're talking Mamas Yidden with mohawks and earrings, davening like halavai we should daven on Yom Kippur. And they're davening Mamas Meham because like the kavana, the islavas, the passion of Avodas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, of Pashut Yidden. And when talking about passion in Yiddishkeit, how could we not mention? So hard to talk in the past tense about such a tzaddik, such a special person in this area specifically of Islavus. But Ari Fold, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Levracha. Well, there's no question, again, I shouldn't say no question, we don't understand anything about this, so I shouldn't say what I just said even, there's no, because there's only questions. There's only questions. We don't have any answers to understand this tragedy. Mamish breaking my heart every moment. I sat there at the Shiva house. It's a look in the eyes of a wife who just lost her husband in such a way. A look in the eyes of children who just lost a parent in such a way. And siblings and parents who lost a child in such a tragic way. There are no words. There are no words. To be, I had a tzchus because I feel it's a mizbeach, but the unfortunate tzchus to be, then we went to the makom where he was murdered. I was there the day after he was murdered, mamish the day after. In such a makom, mamish, a makom that's it's a mizbeach ala aretz, right there. And he was a yid, and those of us who knew him know this, and those of us who didn't know him but have read a little bit or heard in everything he did, it was only passion, right? It was only like b'chol halev. B'chol halev. He believed in Eretz Yisrael and Avos Yisrael and Torah, and he was a Yid. Mamash, not normal. B'chol halev, bislavus. Not like just, I do Yiddishkeit like the way some do. Bislavus. Here's a Yid that he was in his 40s, and still he learned in, as a bachur in Yeshivat HaKotel. And then eventually he was a Rebbe for some time in Netiv Arieh. Not for the last few years, but still, every single Thursday night, he'd go to the Kaisel of Davin and go to Netiv Arieh to spend time sitting and learning, and to go to Rav Bina's 1 a.m. Shir every Thursday night. And then Rav Bina, those who are Netiv guys know this, other every Thursday night, after the Shir, which ends, I don't know, 1:40 in the morning, 1:45 in the morning, goes into his office, sometimes even 2 o'clock, depends on when he actually starts, how long he goes into his office, and they sing, whoever wants, in the pitch dark, the chevra sings, Ka'echsof, Zakeni, a couple songs together, Zachan for Shabbat, it's very, very beautiful. So who is there with all the Bachrim and Rav Bina? Ari Fold, that's all. Every Thursday night. And then he'd go back to Ephrat, where he lived, get back, Chvezer, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not normal for someone in their 40s with children and a family. That's for a bachur in yeshiva, we could do such things. Chevra complains to me that they can't come to shir here because it's too late at night already. Chevra complains, if I can make it earlier, why can't I make it earlier? I would love to come, Rabbi. Why can't I make it earlier? Bring a chair. Chevra says. But Ari Fold was every single Thursday night in his 40s going to learn from his yeshiva and his Rabbi, and because only someone with Islavus does something. Only someone with passion. Only someone with passion. And I believe Even though we understand nothing about this tragedy, the Ribbono Shel for sure was reminding us right before Yom Kippur, because that was the chizik that we all saw, that we need this passion in our lives. The passion that he had in the Avodas Hashem, the way he lived his life. We need that in our lives. We need passion. It's lavas in our Avodas Hashem. This mamash, I was so sad. I was sitting next, I don't want to give details even. I was sitting next to a yid on the plane ride coming back last night. And I started speaking to him about Ari Fold and some of the experience I had at the Shiva House. Some amazing things happened, incredibly inspiring. And first, he's like, who is that? I don't know who you're talking, what are you talking about? He didn't even know about it. So sad to me that a yid would not know about it. We're Klal Yisrael, we should know about every tragedy. That alone was so sad, but we don't need to talk about that. But then he looks at me and he says, this guy, who obviously, he says, I don't know why it's okay for yidden to live in such places like this anyways. It's dangerous. And I was crying. I said to him, I didn't even start with him. I realized I'm not going to get anywhere and it's not even worth it. But I said to him, well, you have to understand one thing, that when something's important in life, it's worth being moser nefesh for. And I left it at that. That's all I said. If something's important in life, it's worth being moser nefesh for. Mesir snefesh, eslavus, and arvodas Hashem. And I believe deeply that if there's one, again, we don't understand why, and it's only questions, but if there's something we're supposed to be taking out at this time in the year, and this, it's where's our Islam? It's our passion. In our Shrol, there's passion flying everywhere, and Ari Fold was the king of passion. Ari was the lion, it was the melech. So we need Islavas. So on Yom Kippur, a lot of us had Islavas in our davening. On Yom Kippur, a lot of us were able to daven with passion and be passionate about our Yiddishkeit and passionate about the way we're serving God. But what about today? What were our brachos like today? What was our davening like today? The Baal Shem HaKadosh says as follows, in Tehillim, in Pei Aleph, the Pasuk says, you know this Pasuk, I mean, Ki Chayki L'Yisrael Hu Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. Right? Tiku B'Chodesh Ofer Kesed Elucheinu. Ki chayk li Yisrael hu mishpat l'kei Yaakov. So what's Baal Shem? Listen how he learns B'derech Drash. He says, ki chayk li Yisrael. When a person serves Hashem like it's a chayk. What does that mean? He says in a negative way. Sometimes a chol could be a very positive. You're willing to do it no matter what, even if you don't understand. That's a positive sometimes. But meaning what? If I don't understand it, therefore I'm not going to be passionate about it. I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it because you told me to. Out of rote, mechanically, as a chok. I don't understand that there's a meaning and purpose in it. Then mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. It's going to bring judgment. For l'elokei Yaakov is going to bring judgment upon us. He's going to bring us din. Rachman aliva boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants our heart. He wants it to be alive. And we're entering into the Heilige Yantav Sukkis. We're entering into the Heilige Yantav Sukkis. And Sukkis is Zman Simchaseinu. Time of happiness, time of joy. It has to be a time of passion in our mitzvahs, of simcha in our mitzvahs. The Yerushalmi darshans, we all know that lulav hayavish is pasul, a dried out lulav is pasul. So the Yerushalmi learns it from what? From the pasuk lo hamesim yahaluka. Lo hamesim yahaluka, that a dead one can't give praise to Hashem. So a dried out lulav is dead, that can't be used for a mitzvah. La meisim ya'alukah. So I saw from Rav Melech Biderman, he made a kal v'chaymer. He said, if you can't use a dried out lulav that's dead as your chefsa shal mitzvah to serve Hashem and praise Hashem, definitely if you, the person, is dried out in the way that you're serving Hashem, it's possible. Definitely, if you're b'li'as lavas, you're without passion, you're without excitement, without simcha. So you're basically dead in the way that you serve Hashem. You show up to shul, and you'll go through the motions of shaking the lulav, and saying the words of the Hebrew reading exercise, and sit in my sukkah to eat, because that's what my family does. And again, I go through all the motions, and every morning, I'll strap all my black straps, because it's a chayk, and because, again, I wear my tzitzis, because it's a chayk, and I do all the mitzvahs. I go through there's nothing I do wrong. Actually, on Yom Kippur, when I was thinking about it, I couldn't even think of one thing that I'm doing wrong. I go through my day, I go to every minyan, I say every bracha, I always say Asher Yatzar. I don't know what else, what do I, Lamaiz is going through the Al-Khaitz, I'm good to go, it's going to be a good year. But it's all rote, it's all mechanical, Beli Islavus. So I'm the one dead. Forget about my lulav being dead. I'm dead. Kav chomer. It's pasul dika mitzvah. If the person's dead. We have to be alive in our avodas Hashem. So how could we be meaning? How could we bring meaning to this, to dal minim, and be alive in our avodas Hashem? Listen to this. Mamish incredible. This is a medrash. It's mamish a peladika medrash. It's a medrash rabba. It's not, again, maybe if it was a Zohar, we'd say, okay, if it was a medrash rabba, look. Medrash rabba. I don't even think I'm reading from like some deep Kabbalistic work here. It's in Parshas Emor, Lamed. Pri Etz Hadar, right? The Esrog. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kapos Tmarim, the lulav. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are psukim that are quoted here. We're just trying to go a little quicker. Anaf Eitz Avos. Anaf Eitz Avos. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arve Nochal. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a medrash. The Esrog, Lulav, Hadas, and Maravos. You know what they are? You know what they are? It's Medrash. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it makes sense why we spend so much time picking out our Lulav and Esrog. People think it seems so crazy. Where else do we do this? Well, Mamish spend hours looking at the Esrog, Mamish. Maybe it's Bittul Torah. Should be sitting and learning. But if you realize your Mamish purchasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Medrash. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does this medrash mean? The Esrog is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lulav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Arava is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Adasim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's brought down from Naftali Rapshitzer first. Naftali Rapshitzer says, we take the four meaning, and based on this medrash, it's like we're taking Hashem and we shake it. You know what that does? When we take Dal Minim and we shake it, it shows we're like Kilush. I could only say because he said it. I don't know how to say it even better. It's like we are the ones taking Hashem and moving Him however we'd like. Shaking Him up. Saying, we're in control of you, God. It's a Pella. So we have to understand what this all means. I'm going to share some deep Torahs before we get anywhere tonight. So the Beis Yosef brings down from the Hilga Rakanti the following. That when you hold your Esrog and Dal Minim, you're supposed to hold them next to each other. Right? Well, most of us do this. We're supposed to hold them next to each other. Why? Why should we hold Esrog and Dal Minim next to each other? So he says, Beis Yosef said, he learned this all and understand it in a dream. Right? You're holding in the dream. What did he say? He said, the first night of Sukkot, he had a guest, Rabbi Yitzchak. This is all in a dream. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, he said Shem Havaya, but the last hey, Yud Kei Vav Kei, last hey was separated. So he says, I said to him that by us, I said this, right? Wait, basically, no, I'm sorry. He saw Shem Havaya with the last hey separated, and he said it to him, and then he said, bad, Rabbi Yitzchak said, that by Ashkenazim, that's the minog. And then he just said he erased that hay by itself and put it closer to make Shem Avaya together, Yud Kei Vav Kei together. That's not the right way. Again, the Rabbi Yitzchok says the Hey should be separate from Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Hey Vav, and then Hey by itself. And the Beis Yosef says no, the Hey has to be together. That should be Shem Avaya. So he didn't understand what this dream meant and what was going on. So the next day he saw Rabbi Yitzchok shaking the lulav and esrog separate. Lulav Hadas Merav in one hand and esrog in another hand. And he finally understood the whole dream. Meaning what? Because the lulav and esrog, the dal minim, correspond to Yudke Vavke. And really when you have the esrog separate, it's like the hay is separate by itself. They're not connected. And it has to be Shem Avaya all connected. But again, what that's telling you is, again, this is only Beis Yosef teaching us why we're supposed to hold the dal minim together. But that tells us again, similar to this medrash, somehow, again, it's very deep, the dal minim represent Hashem. The dal minim represent Hashem. By the way, the Sar Sholem of Bells says that's why we have kishulach. We have that we put the Adas and Ravos in those little zachim, right? Why do we have to have kishulach? Why do we have to have kishulach? Because you should hold. They should all be together, but they also have to be somewhat separate. Why? Because if the letters are touching one another and they're interconnected, so then it's possible in Torah, right? You still have to be able to see the difference in the letters. So each of the dal medium is a letter, but it has to be a little bit different. That's why as well, when you hold the Sefer Tamim and Hagim brings down, when you hold the Esrog, you shouldn't hold it mamish against the Lulav, you should hold it against the Keshulach, because if it's against the Lulav, it's like the letters are touching. Again, these are very, very deep Torahs. If you think about it, I was thinking about it, again, it's a little different than Mez Yosef, where I'll say it, that the dal minim actually, like, they mamish correspond to Yud Kei Vav Kei. You could say that the Esrog is a small little Zach, it's like a little Yud. Happens to also be the Esrog's connected to Lev. The heart, and the heart is the essence of every yud, of every yid. So Esrog, the lulav is very long, it's like a vav. And then you have two aravos and three adasim, which is five. So the two hays correspond to the adasim and aravos together. Maybe. It's a bederach drush. But we find from here, Chevra, ultimately now we'll start to understand. This is all very, very deep Torah. But somehow from the Medrash, and from Halacha already, from the Beis Yosef, we find that mamish the dal minim is Hashem, and we're shaking Hashem. What does this all mean? What does that tell me? Because it's very beautiful. You can say it over. But shkoyach, if that's the Torah you bring to your sukkah, your parents are going to look at you like strange. Like, why am I sending you to Shiva? That's what you're bringing me home. Like, really? What does that all mean? Imagine, come to your sukkah. First night of sukkahs. Okay, who has a Dvar Torah? Yeah. Oh, shkoyach. You raise your hand. Parents are spending $30,000 a year to send you to YU, $40,000 a year, whatever it is. You say, oh, I have a Torah. Yeah, that Esrog Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arav Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lulav Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adas Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, yeah, when you shake it, you're shaking Hashem. Shkoyach. No, okay, I have a better one for you. It's really they're connected, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you have to hold them together, so it's Shem Havaya. I mean, no, this is all, I don't mean to make fun. It's beautiful, deep Torah, but what does that mean? What does that mean to each and every one of us? What does that mean to each and every one of us? Such a Torah. And how is this going to help our Islavas in the way that we serve Hashem during this Zman Simchaseinu and to stay alive after Yom Kippur? How am I going to stay alive? On Yom Kippur I was alive. On Yom Kippur I felt alive. For one day. I felt the passion that the Yidden Eretz Yisrael have constantly, that Ari Fold had always. I'll tell you what I believe. It's based on a Torah I shared, I don't remember when, once before for sure. It's a tremendous Torah from the Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander. And he says as follows. In Tav Resh Lamed Tes, the Ramah, he talks about being potter from the sukkah. Now you all know this. Everybody knows that if it's pouring rain, you're potter from eating in the sukkah. Potter from sleeping in the sukkah. Everybody knows such a halacha. But the lashon of the Ramah is very strange, very puzzling. The Ramah says in Tav Resh Lamed Tes Zayin, Kol ha-potter min ha-sukkah, ve'eino yotze misham, anyone who's potter and doesn't leave, meaning what? If you say, it's pouring rain, Okay, first night of Sukkah is a special halacha. You still have to eat someone in the Sukkah. But let's talk about any other night. Second night, a little bit also. So Chol HaMoed one night. Chol HaMoed pouring rain. And you say, I'm going to be Chassid Yisoid Olam. I'm going to sit in the pouring rain, being drenched by rain, eating in a Sukkah. So there are some holes to such an Indian, but not the Ramah. The Ramah says, if you're putter from the Sukkah, it's pouring rain. Ve'eno yotze misham, and you don't leave. You say, I'll stay in the pouring rain. First of all, eino mekabel of schar. You get no reward for that. You get no reward. You're doing nothing. If you stop there, fine, tell me that. The next few words are pellet. I'm saying, ve'eino ela hajotos. And basically, you're only a fool. You're a simpleton. You don't know what you're doing. Now, why did Ramah have to add that? Ve'eino ela hajotos. Okay, tell me, if I sit in the sukkah, when I'm putter, thinking I'm such a tzaddik, no, you're not getting any reward for that. That's enough. What do you mean, ve'eino ela hajotos? So, Sitzi Chaim says something unbelievable. So we know there's a famous Gemara that talks about how there was one mitzvah given to the Goyim, because the Goyim complains that we want to earn schar and earn like the Yidden. And they were giving mitzvah kala, a simple mitzvah, the mitzvah of sukkah, she'ein bo chesron kiss. That's not lacking pashup shat, ein bo chesron kiss, you'd think means what? It doesn't cost any money. That's pashup shat. And we all know what happens. Hashem brings out a burning hot, fiery day, a heat wave, and the goyim leave the sukkah and they kick the sukkah, showing they have no kavod. Fine. So how does the Tzitzit Chaim explain Ein Bo Chesron Kiss? Because there's a question. Ask your parents. A sukkah could be very, very expensive. If you want to go buy a new sukkah today, it's a few $1,000 for a good sukkah. It's very expensive. So what do you mean a sukkah is Ein Bo Chesron Kiss? What do you mean a sukkah doesn't, Ein Bo Chesron, literally we usually translate, doesn't cost any money. It could cost a lot of money. So listen to how the Tzitzit Chaim explains. Mam is tremendous. A kiss is a pocket. A pocket where you makabel something, where you could accept something. Chesron Kiss means it's lacking a pocket. You don't accept anything. So for example, a carbon oila, which also, by the way, could be very expensive, but yeshbo chesron kiss. Yeshbo chesron kiss. It's missing a pocket. You don't get anything back. You don't enjoy it anyway. Because it's all for Hashem. A carbon shlamim, for example, that you could eat and enjoy, it also costs a lot of money, but eimbo chesron kiss. It's not lacking a pocket. It's not lacking, it's double negative, meaning it has a pocket, meaning you get to enjoy it as well. In other words, a mitzvah, which is kulo l'Hashem, is yesh bo chesron kiss. A mitzvah that's fully for God has no pocket, you don't enjoy it. It's complete mesiras nefesh. A mitzvah that we get to enjoy as well is ein bo chesron kiss. It's not lacking a pocket, meaning it has a pocket, I get to enjoy it. You see, by the goyim, they don't understand this. The goyim understand religiosity and spirituality, but they only understand that in a state of abstinence. They understand that if I'm going to abstain from the physical and the mundane, I'm a holy person. But they don't understand what it means to elevate the mundane, to elevate the physical. To them, I have my world where I eat and I drink and I chill and I'm physical, my world of the temple. That's why a goy could bring a carbon, but only a carbon oila. A carbon oila, he could understand. It's kulo Hashem. He doesn't understand a carbon shlamim. He doesn't understand a carbon that I get to enjoy as well. I can't serve God in the way that I enjoy also. They don't understand that. The mitzvah of sukkah is a mitzvah kala sheim b'chesed. You know what I mean? Not that it's not expensive, but it's not lacking a pocket. Meaning we get to enjoy sukkahs. We get to, what do we do in the sukkah? I'm going to have delicious food in my sukkah. I'm going to sleep in my sukkah. Don't forget, Chever thinks, not to Chever here, people think that there's only a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, mitzvah to live in the sukkah. Everyone has a chiv to sleep in the sukkah. Okay, mitzvah is part of the sukkah. If you're really uncomfortable and you can't sleep, because it's too hot, or because it's raining, or because you tried and you just couldn't sleep, you're mitzvah, you're part of the sukkah. Otherwise, you have chiv to sleep in the sukkah, you have chiv to eat in the sukkah. Actually, no, we're more machmer about sleeping in the sukkah. By eating, achilas arai is part of the sukkah. I want to have a drink. It's a nice thing to do to go in the sukkah. But if you don't, you could really drink out of the sukkah. You could have some fruit out of the sukkah. Even a little nap, shinas arai, you're mechuyev in the sukkah. So get a nice mattress, set it up well. You have a few days now if you don't have to go buy a nice rolling bed. So you can sleep in the sukkah. Okay, on a night if it's too hot or too cold and you can't sleep, you're mitzvah. That's fine. Outside of that, it's a chiv to sleep in the sukkah. Opportunity to do a mitzvah even while you're sleeping the whole time. It's incredible. Beautiful schus. But what? It's aim b'chesem gives me. I enjoy the sukkah. I love it. I eat, I drink, I hang out, I do enjoyable things in there. And I'm serving Hashem through that. The goyim were given that mitzvah, they don't understand that mitzvah. To them, they didn't understand that they kicked the sukkah. And by the way, in the Shulchan Aruch, the next line, ukiyotim in a sukkah mikoch kishamim, if you have to leave because it's raining, al yibai v'yeti, don't kick it. Alluding to that gemara right here. Mamash, right here. But what's it tell us? If you go, now we can understand pshat. The Ramah says, Mamash, incredible, it's the only way to understand the Ramah. The Ramah says, if it's pouring rain in your mitzvah and you stay in your sukkah, not only not have schar your head, yo. Now we understand why. What happens when it's pouring rain and you stay in your sukkah? You're turning it into a mitzvah, sheyesh b'chasr kiss, right? You're saying, no one, let's be real, no one in their right mind is going to enjoy eating a meal in the pouring rain. You're ridiculous. No one does that. So if I'm going to do it in the rain, if I'm going to do it in the rain, I'm saying, oh no, this is a mitzvah kulu l'Hashem. That, okay, there are mitzvahs, Monsieur Snefesh kulu l'Hashem. But what are you doing? You're a hedyot. You're a fool. You don't understand the mitzvah. This is not a mitzvah she'eit b'chesr kiss. It's a mitzvah she'eit b'chesr kiss. And if it's pouring rain, that's it. You should go inside. That's not how you're supposed to do the mitzvah sukkah. You're a hedyot. What that tells me, Chavra, is to understand that's what the essence of sukkahs is. The essence of sukkahs is, the Rabbanu Shlomo says, you just went through a Yom Kippur for me. I saw, and I appreciate, and it's credible, that you're willing to serve me in a passionate way, b'yesho chesron kiss. Nobody here on a physical level enjoyed Yom Kippur. On a spiritual level, very much so, hopefully. We all, it's the highest day of the year. I hope every one of us had the biggest aliyah and felt kirvus elokim, and it was an incredible feeling of simcha. But that's all beruchni. Begashmi, nobody in their right mind enjoys not eating. On a spiritual level, enjoy the sacrifice of it. Nobody, nobody does it on a regular day. Just stop, I'm not going to eat today. I'm in the mood not to eat today. I enjoy not eating. Nobody enjoys not showering. Nobody enjoys not showering. Nobody enjoys, I don't want to bathe today. I want to just feel sweaty and disgusting. What are you, something sick about you? I mean, Hashem Yirachim. Right? Nobody enjoys that. Nobody. If according to the poskim are a little more machmir, we wore the shoes we're supposed to be wearing. Again, we all wear comfortable shoes, which again, al pi halacha, the ikker, letter of the law is mutter. I do also. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. But if we wore like we see some yidden wearing in Inoy, nobody enjoys that. No married couple says I'm choosing to hold of hilchos nida today. I'm just in the mood to hold the chlidim. We're not gonna touch her. I'm not gonna pass anything to you today. On my own. That's we like doing that. Nobody enjoys begashmi Yom Kippur, but I understand yesh b'chesr kiss. There are times I sacrifice for Hashem as a Jew. That's Yom Kippur. Hashem says, but I saw you did it. Baslavus yesh b'chesr kiss. Now I want you on Sukkos to take all that you do in this world. And even the areas that some, and by the goyim, they think this has nothing to do with me. Do that bislavas, and it's a mitzvah. And you're connecting to me in the same way. And realize everything in your life you could connect to Hashem. You don't have to be a Yom Kippur dikiyid always. You could be a sukkahs dikiyid. And a sukkahs dikiyid carries you through the whole year. Meaning, do it all. Just do it in a sukkah. Just do it in a sukkah. Do it l'shem Hashem. And what is Lulav, Esra, Das, and Rose, not to get into the depth of the Kabbalah, but these are all Gashmis, Dik, and Yonim, the harvest, that which is out in the physical and I'm going to take it. And what does the Medrash then mean? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what it means? Exactly what it says. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means everything is God. It means that whatever I do in this world could be connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what it means? That it's Shem Havaya. Again, it means I'm connecting to Shem Havaya in this. I'm connecting to Hashem. And each and every one of us has to believe that everything I do, I'm connecting to Hashem. I don't have to be a Yom Kippur Dikiyid. I could be a Jew today in a normal day and be on the same level as Yom Kippur. And elevate everything I have to Hashem. And that's when I can have a slavas. You know when people don't have a slavas? When they forget that I can connect to Hashem in everything that I do. So then, everything I'm just doing it, I'm doing it still because I'm supposed to. But I'm not doing it to realize I could also elevate what I enjoy to Hashem. Wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. Meaning I could eat and have 3 sudas today, and I could enjoy brownies at the table here, and I'm serving Hashem? Yeah. You make a slow, beautiful bracha, and you eat like a mensch, and you make a bracha achrona. I'm shaking Hashem. I'm one with Hashem. You know, people were, the other day we were just talking about before how Rav Nevenzahl Shlita just got engaged for a second time. Rav Nevenzahl, I believe he's 83 years old. Ariel, don't stop davening for him. Your tefillos for Nevenzahl seem to have tremendous, tremendous effect. So,
I always stop there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Just saying. Lameisa. You could ask, you think first when you heard, you thought it's crazy, or Nevenzahl's engaged. And some people could say, and I heard some people say, like, why would you even want to get engaged? Meaning at this point in your life, obviously you're Mekayim Peru, you have children, you have grandchildren, you had a full life. So now, okay, the Bonesham decided, obviously you'd want to stay married as long as you can to your wife, but once they took her, so now Lameisa, Rav Nevenzahl, as we know, I'm pretty sure he loves Torah. I'm pretty sure he loves davening. I mean, I've only seen him do those two things ever, always. You know, I don't think he does anything else. Mamish, anything else. Like, Mamish, the images I have of him walking through the streets of the old city with his head in his Gemara. Literally, with his head in his Gemara. Incredible, incredible. I've never seen anyone else like it in my life. I've never seen anyone else like him in my life. Right? We all know he has his coat, his jacket with a special, I think, specially made pocket which holds his Gemaras in there. Our pockets, so all we could only graduate to Mishnayos because our pockets could hold a pocket Mishnayos. His pockets hold Gemaras. Like they go right here, his Gemara. Pretty incredible. Because he can't be anywhere without his Gemara. So and then he takes a walk. He's walking with his head in the Gemara. So why would he get engaged? Just sit and learn Torah and daven all day. Why would you get engaged now? Terzov Nevenzahl understands a lot. First of all, he understands as a Beferish Pasuk, Lotoyev, that it's not good that an Ish should be Levado. It's Beferish and Bereshis, right? Like, that doesn't say, it's not good to be alone when you're younger. It's not, the Torah is telling you, you're supposed to have a spouse. It's best for you. But I'm sure as well he understands that my Avodah as a Jew is not purely in Yesh B'Chesron Kis, it's not purely in Benon L'Makom, it's not purely in when I'm in the base Knesset, in the base Medrash. The vote of being a Yid and being Kaddish to Yid is in everything I do. There's no meaning, it doesn't take away, it only adds. So I have more opportunity in every element of my life. I have a wife that I could give kavod to, that I could share and be with Chesed and elevate every aspect of my life. This doesn't take away. We have to believe and understand every aspect of our life could be Kaddish. And have islavus and have passion in our avodas Hashem and everything that we're doing and figure out how everything I do to serve Hashem. And that's what sukkahs represents. That's what the sukkah is, Shifil Chaim is teaching us. And that's what the shaking Lul Nasrug is all about. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu! Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu! In everything that I do, don't think, if there's anything I'm doing that I can't figure out how I'm serving Hashem in this, then I shouldn't be doing it. But the emphasis is if we thought about it, we could serve Hashem in everything that we do. In everything that we do. So I'll tell you something, Chavro. You know, we spoke about it a little bit before, but I'll tell you. This trip to Eretz Yisrael as special and incredible it was. It was one of the hardest trips I've ever had to Eretz Yisrael in my life because of the terrible tragedy of the murder of Ari Folds, that's all. And paying that shiva call. Such holy Jews. You didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. The Mesiris Nefesh they live with. You know, look, I'll tell you just one story from the shiva house and just I can't stop thinking about it. So I'm sitting there, I'm sitting with Hillel Fold, with Ari's brother, who used to be a very close friend of mine. We were in Yeshiva Karen B'Yavin together. Sadly, I'm not in touch with him anymore. Some of the Chever maybe knows him. Apparently, he's big in the IT world and people know who he is. We used to be close. I probably haven't seen him in at least 10 years. It was itself sad just to be reacquainted and seeing for the first time in such a tragic time. I'm sitting there with him. And we're talking. And suddenly this young woman, and seemed to be with, I guess, a daughter, comes. And it's like probably about 10 of us sitting with Hillel. And she comes and she's standing behind. And Hillel looks up and starts talking to her. And I'm listening in and I realize this was another guy that I was in yeshiva with who I was very close with, his younger sister. This guy Yisrael Spira, who was a very close friend of mine years ago. This is his younger sister, who Hillel was very close with as well. Now let me give you a little bit of background. Chever, I'm sure, knows about this, but a little background so you understand this story. Yisrael Spira and this young woman's uncle was Dr. David Applebaum. That's all. And their first cousin, therefore, was Nav Applebaum, whose brother was in Karen B'Avna with us as well, Natan Applebaum. Natan, Yisrael, Hillel were all very, very, very close friends. I was friends with all of them. For those of you who don't know, Dr. David Applebaum, he was tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, holding kol ha-Torah kula, kol ha-Torah kula. You could ask him kol ha-Shas, kol Tanakh, anywhere he was holding. I mean it, mamish bal peh. I spoke to him in learning many, many times. Who was also a very, very big doctor. He was the director of Terem. I'm sure many of us in this room at some point ended up in Terem. He was the director of Terem. So Dr. Applebaum and his daughter Nava, this must be about 16 years ago already, I don't remember exactly. They went out to eat at Cafe Hillel on Emek Rafaim. We've all been on Emek Rafaim. We've been at restaurants in Emek Rafaim. I think there's a Cafe Hillel now there now, but this Cafe Hillel was another, I think, a different location, but somewhere in Emek Rafaim. They went out to eat the night before Nava was supposed to get married. And a suicide bomber blew himself up and killed both of them. Nava's dress was made into the parochas for Kever Rachel, some of the Chever I'm sure I've seen. So that was my very close friend's sister and father. Yisrael Spear's first cousin and uncle. And Hillel Fold was very close with Lizzie also. So this is Yisrael's sister, Nava's first cousin, is there at the Shiva house. And Hillel looks up and talking to her. First tells her how amazing Yisrael's been for him. What an amazing friend. And then says to her, that I want you to know I haven't felt the way I feel now, in the tsar and the shock, since your uncle and cousin were murdered. We were sitting there, and I just had a connection to both of these tragedies, and it was just like so much to handle in like one. And she looks at him, and she puts her hand. She puts her hand around her daughter. I don't know how old her daughter was, but she looked to me like 10, 11 years old maybe. And she looks at him and says, "This is my Nava. This is my Nava." And it was just the moment of emotions of these two tragedies. And then seeing this girl who's Nava, named after her mother's first cousin, was murdered. It was just like so much there. But my thought was just like, afterwards, thinking about it, it was just the Mesiris Nefesh and the devotion and the slavas of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Because then seeing not only going through these tragedies, but not stopping and not moving away, Chas V'Shalom, and not, but just continue to rebuild and continue to move on with Emunah, with Bitachon, and with Hislavas, with passion in our Avodas Hashem, passion in our connection to Hashem, living in a way that there's meaning and purpose and passion in my life, in everything that I do, in all that I do, and elevating all that I do to Hashem when I have passion, when I have Hislavas. So that was also the chizuk I had a little bit later in the day. Because truth is, even more emotional than paying the shiva call was a little later in the night going to the makom where Ari was murdered. It ended up, we went for the shiva that day was in Efrat, Ari in the folds of an Efrat. And then we went from Efrat, we drove to Maror HaMakpela, to Chevron, to Davin, Erev Yom Kippur. And then we're driving back, and we realize we're right passing by Tzomet Gush, right where... So we went, and we said we have to go to the Makom of, just to be there, to say a few some Tehillim, and to in that Makom, that Kaddish Dika Makom, the Mizbeach, Al Aret. In that moment, I can't even start talking about, meaning just what it was, being there. There are no words to describe being in such a makom the day after Yid was murdered in such a way. But what was so eerie, and at first it was actually disheartening. You guys all saw videos, and I'm sure many of you were there at some point in your life. It's a shopping center. It was right outside the shopping center. There's a pizza store there. And like, yes, there was some memorial set up, and there was this mug in Davin made out of candles in the place where he fell and passed, was basically Nifter, and there was a few candles where he was stabbed. And but what was so eerie and crazy was, like, beside myself and a few of my Talmidim and maybe one or two other people that were there to try to be makusher to this tragedy and feel it and feel the pain of Klal Yisrael and to daven for Geula. As we stood there singing Animamim, it was really powerful. But the people around were just like going on like normal life. Like people were there shopping. And you guys, a lot of us saw the video how the terrorists jumped over this little wall and then Ari jumped over after him and then shot him. If you didn't see. Like that's right outside the pizza store. Right in that makum where they both jumped over and then Ari fell into a door and shot, and they fell to. Right there, the people sitting and eating pizza. Sitting and eating pizza. And my first thought, I was very disheartened. It was like, this whole place is like Kedusha. Like, how could you just like be eating pizza here and going on? And then I started thinking about maybe this is obviously a mile in it, and the mile of moving on and not stopping and showing that this is our land. And there's definitely miles in that. But then maybe it hit me later. And maybe the chizik teaching everyone is everything we're saying tonight. I mean, you know, we have to understand the vadad is an inyan of b'chol nafshecha and giving up our life, which we have no understanding of, al kiddush Hashem and being a Yom Kippur dikiyir. But there's just as much of an avodah to be a sukkah dikiyir and to go and to eat a slice of pizza, but to say a bracha with kavana beforehand and eat it like a mensch, and to go on with our everyday life, but b'slavus and avodas Hashem is just as important. As Al Sadiqim say, the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur sometimes is more difficult than the mitzvah of fasting Yom Kippur. When we know to be Moisir Nefesh for Hashem, we know how to do that. But to elevate everything we do to Hashem, to elevate our eating to Hashem, Bislavas, sometimes harder. So, Chevra, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me this opportunity to be in these makomos, to gain some chizik. I feel a chrayas to share this with the Chevra. I'll tell you even more, I think it was a chrayas Rabban Shem telling me when we went to the makom where Ari was murdered. So there was a guy there that was like under this like tent thing, and they were giving out, I'll show Chevra after, they were giving out Israeli flags, and with like a little thing someone made up already, it was the next day, but someone made up already this little card, asking that you'd hang this Israeli flag, Lila Nishmas, Ari, and everyone should remember him. We got there, it was at like 9 o'clock at night, there was one flag left. One flag. Talmud Moshe David, Sammy Bernstein, he took it and then he gave it to me when he realized it was the last one. Usually I wouldn't take it, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. I realized this later a little bit, just the number. The guy said they gave out 300 flags that day. This was the last one. One left. They gave out 300, one left, that we got. Now, I can't tell this for sure, because I don't know, but I would guess, if I was a guessing man, I was probably the only one that was headed back to Chutzlartz the next day. I'm assuming anyone that was there are either Israelis that are staying there or people that are there. Not too many people. I don't know how many people visited. I mean, obviously it was at least 300 people. But, you know, Lemaisa, I was probably, maybe, I mean, I could be wrong in this. I'm probably the only person that was going back to Chutzlartz. And it's the last one. It was if the Rebbeinu Shlomo was saying, we want the all this, obviously, is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and everyone should be remembering Ari within Eretz Yisrael, but we need to bring a chelek also back to Chutz Laaretz. It reminds us of the Slavis and the Mesiras Nefesh, what it is to be a Yid in Eretz Yisrael. And to bring back the chizik here, and I brought back the flag, I'm going to hang it up in the sukkah, next to that little card that they made, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. And Amir Tzashem, the Slavis that Ari had in his life and in his death, should be a slavis that each and every one of us should have in our lives. We should be zeicha to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's with Mesiras Nefesh in Yesh Bo Chesed and Kiss like Yom Kippur, but when it's Sukkadik and in our eating and our drinking and our enjoying life, elevating all of that bislavis, and that's chus, we'll be zeicha froys l'nesukah shloimecha, we'll be zeicha to be reunited with Aretz Chesed Meisim with Mashiach Dirkeinu b'mehera b'yameinu.